Good evening, I'm Nastasia Aronson, and you're watching Stockwatch. Tackling your questions in studio tonight is Nick Crail from Ashburton Investments and Mark Dutoy from Courtney Capital Private Wealth. Don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Before we get into the questions, let's have your assessment of today's markets activity. Let's start off with you, Nick.
Well, our markets generally for the month have been positive, so that's a good thing. Personally, I would have liked them to be more positive today and not really happening. I think it's been an interesting month overall, however. You've seen a lot of South African sort of industrial and retail SA Inc. type of stocks that have performed very nicely for the month.
Right.
Although they got beaten down significantly in the previous month. So they've just recovered some of those sort of gains, includes banks as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all coming up to election time and what's going to transpire. So it's certainly getting interesting.
Your thoughts?
Yes, I mean, it's been fairly quiet the last 2 weeks because of the public holidays and not that much trade on the JSE. America's in their full earnings season, so I think our market's taking a bit of a read-through from there. Locally, not that many companies reporting, so it's a bit quieter on our side.
So from Jan till now, what would you make of the JSE's performance? Are you happy with it, or is it still one of those things where you want to see how it fares after elections and towards the end of the year before you can actually make a more informed judgment?
Well, markets are up. Not as much as the US and how that's sort of pumping ahead. As an equity person, you always wanted to go up almost infinitely,
right,
along with earnings to sort of follow, because that's where returns sort of come from. So certainly not happy yet, but think that, you know, it's been pretty robust. So, you know, as of a house, we would have probably been overweight equities to start out the year. And although we remain slightly overweight, we have been sort of reducing our position somewhat, just because of the outsized sort of returns one's experienced in a relatively short span of time.
When you look at the global markets, are you happy with what you're seeing, and are all the risks that we've been talking about slightly starting to ease off a little bit, perhaps maybe on the China-US front, which I notice on the Wall Street Journal this afternoon, is that some of the sticking points that, you know, started off this entire debacle might end up being in the final agreement.
Yeah.
And perhaps even on the growth side, what are your views when you look at the global economy?
Yeah, so, last year, towards the back end of last year, we really saw quite a big drawdown in equity markets. It's on the back of the Fed raising interest rates. Since then, we've seen basically the risk to the global growth outlook dissipating a bit. China and the US are talking, and like you mentioned, trying to put the trade deal together. And I mean, and it is a bit of a guess at the moment what that's going to look like. If there is a deal, that's very positive. But a lot of that positive sentiment has already been baked into markets and the performance to date. So from our point of view, I mean, we thought we had a very good start to the year in our local market, and particularly in America. And now we've paid back a bit of our positions, and we wait to see sort of what the next catalyst will be. If there's a very strong and a deal between China and America that sorts out a lot of the uncertainties around intellectual property and, you know, what the tariffs are going to be, if there's going to be any reduction in tariffs, and certainly something that the markets can price in the longer time frame, I think that would be very positive.
Perhaps you want to answer this first question, which might be for you. This one's from Roland. He wants to know, what is your opinion on the rand if the U.S. does walk away from the China talks?
I think if the U.S. walks away from China talks, it's probably a risk-off type event, which is typically negative for emerging market currencies. So I think we will weaken. But, you know, long-term, we really have to look at the outlook for our economies. Growth prospect. So it's got more to do in the long term around about structural reforms that our government can put in place, the kind of economic growth that we're going to get longer term, and that really sets the direction for the rand in the long term.
All right. Nick, you want to take the next question? It's your view on Aspen.
So Aspen's a tough one at the moment because it's incredibly cheap.
Yeah.
Pretty good quality type of business. Has been under some significant stress in, I suppose, bedding down its, you know, years worth of history of acquisitions. And now is incredibly inexpensive, I think. So you're talking a forward PE of probably around 6-7. And ultimately, with less gearing, although the gearing is a significant worry for the market, and that's really what it's led to, the significant derating that we saw earlier this year. But at less debt, you know, to EBITDA than somebody like Anheuser-Busch, as an example. So our view, it all hinges on this transaction, which should sort of deliver them to beneath their sort of threshold governance sort of levels of debt. And we do see the deal going through, but it's almost a binary event. It's one of those where the deal gets announced, and it sort of should be announced by the end of May. So it's a pretty soon, and I think you probably got a, you know, 10-15% upside in the share. If it doesn't, you're going to probably halve, you know, as guys get incredibly concerned. So if you are not scared of taking a bit of risk, certainly there's some upside in the stock at the moment.
All right. Gentlemen, the next question on from the SMS side is from Leo, and he wants to know the panel's view on MMI. You want to take that one, Mark?
Yes, sure. So MMI, Momentum Life Insurance, we've seen typically in that space the outperformance from a group like Sanlam. Momentum has been sold down quite spectacularly over the last few years. So the old management team's been reappointed, and starting to the latest set of numbers were quite positive, and the market took it positively. I mean, we think that MMI should trade on about 22 rand a share. I think it can get there fairly easily. Difficult to see longer term where the life insurance companies really get their growth from, unless equity markets can keep going up.
Mm. Nick, your view?
Yeah, so certainly a bit of a turnaround story. You've seen it take a massive bath and been one of the underperformers over the last sort of 5 years. I think certainly in that sort of environment, there's always an opportunity for a bit of a turnaround. And with new management there, with a sort of keen grasp on, I think, what they would like to do with the company, it should re-rate back to sort of, I suppose, market-normalized type of multiples. But as Mark says, it's a... You know, looking beyond that and saying, okay, this is our current business, this is how we're formatted, what is the opportunity set for us over the next sort of 5 to 7 years? And I think it's still on shaky ground with regards to that.
Mark was saying that with these particular companies, it's quite difficult to see where the growth is going to come from. Does that apply as well to the telecoms companies when you look at like a Vodacom and an MTN? Because, yes, they're in a difficult environment where now you have competitors like Rain coming in. And then also, I think just last week, now we are reiterating and making that call a little bit louder that data prices need to fall. What are your views on those two telecoms companies? Start off with you, Mark.
Yeah, so I mean, typically, our view on the telecom space is that there's going to need to be a continued renewal of CapEx and an infrastructure going forward. And certainly that's going to pull down returns longer term. Coupled with that, as you say, there's a push towards a reduction in pricing. So it's not a sector that we're particularly excited about. I mean, within the sector, you've got quite a different... Each company is in a different kind of phase. You've got Vodacom, which is the dominant player. And in the investment world, you always want to own the person has the best market share. We've got MTN, which is a bit of a turnaround story, and their prospects are improving in Nigeria. They had good numbers out of Ghana. So, you know, sector we don't particularly like, but within the sector there is some opportunity to trade the stocks.
Nick?
Yeah, so I think one should be underweight the sector.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, industries like telecoms, healthcare, are under regulatory sort of threat. Mm. And why? Because from a political sort of standpoint, consumers want cheaper data, or consumers want cheaper medicine, more accessible medicine. And so it's relatively easy from a political standpoint to bash down on these sort of companies. And they sit in a tough sort of environment where we want cheaper prices, but we want faster data and more of it, as an example. And it takes significant capital sort of infrastructure spend to actually get one to that sort of level. I think within the sector, we prefer Vodacom, but mainly because it's a little bit more of a strong, steady type of player, better visibility in earnings, and MTN with a turnaround story, but also the African growth sort of potential.
Yeah.
That obviously for it has been a significant hindrance over the last couple of years, and they've enjoyed getting burnt quite significantly. But I think longer term, they certainly are in a position to take advantage of that. It's just how long it's going to take to turn around, and regulators there, whether they can sort of right that relationship that they have with them. So your riskier bet, as it were.
Okay. The next question is from Patrick. He wants to know your view on Netcare. Is it a buy at these levels? Who wants to take the one? The one who's smiling will take it.
Sure. So, I mean, as Nick mentioned, it's also a sector which facing regulatory pressure and typically doesn't have that great return on equity. And we just saw now the Life Healthcare results come out, which were below expectation. I also think that Netcare is in the same type of scenario. I know that the share price has fallen quite a bit, and it's probably, compared to history, looks attractive. But for us, it's not a sector that we're particularly interested in. And within the sector, our preferred pick was Life Healthcare, but their numbers disappointed. So I would stay away from Netcare too.
Nick, do you have a view on Netcare?
It's a bad sector, okay. Facing lots of sort of challenges. Probably would prefer Mediclinic within the sector. Netcare, I think, has disappointed for a while, but really it's not a sector that one wants to be in at the moment. Just the regulatory uncertainty and headwinds, I think, are going to be significant challenges for these companies. They've been there for a while, it must be said, and generally the companies have managed to navigate them fairly successfully, but they're not going away, and ultimately that is going to make it harder to achieve decent returns.
All right. Quick question before going to an ad break. It's on your view on Astral. Who wants to take that one?
Should I smile this time?
Yeah, you can do it.
So Astral Chicken, sure. Well, I mean, this is an incredibly volatile type of industry.
Yeah.
Recent sets of results and guidance are particularly poor, and so I think they're in that sort of tough end of the cycle as it stands at the moment. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if you go back in sort of time, this is a quality of the chicken producer in South Africa, again with some issues with regards to I would say alleged dumping into South Africa,
yeah,
and being able to compete with your largely Brazilian sort of imports. Again, because of that volatility, it's a trading stock. It is not a stock that you want to hold and open up your sort of cupboard in 5 years' time and see that it's still there. But if you trade it, there's definitely opportunities for it at the moment. And, as you can see with some of the sort of share price recovery, it's probably, towards the end, towards a bottom at the moment.
All right. And on that, I think they're also waiting for the adjudication for the tariff. So that's something we'll keep an eye on. It's time to take a quick break, but keep sending through your questions via SMS to 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Welcome back. Taking a look at the markets picture. The U.S. front, it's a bit mixed at this point. The Nasdaq down 0.7%, and that's from a record high based on Alphabet's weak numbers that seem to have weighed on that. Looking at the European picture, FTSE 100 down 0.3%, and that's as investors weighed the signs of economic growth in the Eurozone against weaker than expected Chinese data. All right, still with me in studio is Nick Crail from Ashburton Investments and Mark Detoy from Courtney Capital Private Wealth. Gentlemen, during the ad break, we had a question that has just come in, and somebody wants to know, what is your view on the retailers?
So I like the retailers. At the moment, I think that you've really seen that SA Inc. as a whole has been beaten down quite a bit, and relative to other emerging markets, is that it's trading at attractive multiples. Not to say that they're dirt cheap at the moment, but they're certainly nowhere close to expensive. I then think one needs to factor in what you think is going to happen during the course of this next month, being May, and elections. And if one is relatively optimistic that our journey is sort of starting on a journey of renewal, then I think the retailers offer a lot of value at these sort of levels.
Do you have the same view as well on the retailers?
Look, I think that My worry, I think, in the retail space is that our consumers are under a lot of pressure, and given that our fuel price has gone up quite markedly in the last 2 months, that tends to suck a lot of money out of the South African consumer's pocket. So I think that their earnings are going to be under pressure for at least the next year. But the difficulty we have is that the overseas investors, if they like what they see in South Africa and they like the reforms, hopefully, that will come our way, they will buy the South African retail businesses. I mean, they love to own those businesses. They generate fantastic returns on equity. So from an investment point of view, I don't think you can leave them out of your portfolio and wait to get them at better levels. I mean, it probably is the time to buy, and maybe you'll see further weakness as weaker earnings come through. But at any time, the overseas investors will start picking them up.
Are people still excited over Clicks? Because, I mean, I know they've got a new CEO, and I read that they're planning on rolling out about 41 new stores. And some were a bit surprised based on this aggressive expansion, you know, basically saying that, well, the previous CEO rolled out about 20 to 30 stores a year, and this one's a bit big. What do you make of Clicks? Is that something that a stock that you guys are still excited about? Have you ever been excited about Clicks?
Well, I mean, Clicks is a fantastic business.
Yeah.
And really, they've done a great job in consolidating and the sort of the independent pharmacy market. I mean, every time they open a store in an area, the independent pharmacists, you know, start to suffer. So they're consolidating that market. And I guess the question comes down to whether there still is room for them to grow. I mean, we think that there is, but a lot of that is in the share price already. So Clicks is a great business, quality business. It's a defensive business, but it is quite expensive at the moment.
Nick, Clicks?
I think it's a bit more expensive than quite expensive.
Yeah.
So it's a, no doubt, quality business, and it's been expensive for some time, which means that you've been invested in the last 5 years. You've had a great time of things. However, if you haven't and you're looking for that entry point, it's still looking a little bit expensive at the moment.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, that type of market is an attractive market, and there's no doubt that Clicks is a successful and quality type of operation. But you certainly want to get in at the right price to make sure that you, as an investor and with your capital, get to realize some upside.
All right. Speaking of upside, there's a joke that went on Twitter with regards to Dis-Chem. So apparently, if you can walk into a Dis-Chem store with the intended item that you planned to buy and nothing else, people give you a round of applause because Dis-Chem has all of these products that you don't need, but you want them. So maybe that's something to think about, whether it has that same effect on you when you walk into the store.
Yes, it does. Very hard to walk away with one thing. And again, in a similar sort of area. I think probably better growth opportunities within Dis-Chem, looking forward, but certainly a little bit more of an untried and untested, I suppose, management team, at least from a corporate perspective.
Yeah.
So only recently listed, and I think, you know, ultimately probably need to get used to how things and how you communicate in that sort of market. So has come in with a bit of punishment, I think, more recently, due to, you know, some guidance that wasn't achieved. But I think fundamentally, again, sitting in the right area of the market, so definitely growth opportunities ahead.
So we haven't spoken on ShopRite, and this next question is from Johan. He wanted to know what you think of Pepco and ShopRite. But perhaps let's start off with Pepco and then answer Andre's question, who wanted to know whether Steinhoff is worth investing in at this moment. Who wants to start off with Pepco?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we think Pepco is a great business. Mm-hmm. But I think the market's kind of waiting to see what happens now with Steinhoff's big holding in Pepco, because we suspect that they are going to have to sell some more assets to pay down debt. So, I mean, we've got a small holding in Pepco, and we're waiting to see if we get it at a better price when that sell happens.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, we do like the business.
Nick Steinhoff, I don't know, I feel a little uncomfortable investing in a company whose financials I have not seen over the past 4 years. The real financials, I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't think one can. I don't think it is pretty uninvestable. And I think, you know, if you've taken the ride and you've taken the ride down, then you've lost the majority of the value, in which case, you know, it's almost free optionality in terms of if there is a successful turnaround.
Right.
If you haven't been there, however, I think you've got to probably say the odds are in the favor of Steinhoff as a sort of the equity and holding company going bankrupt. I mean, just the legal challenges that they are faced with regards to these accounts, and obviously the alleged sort of fraud, et cetera, that's taken place here, any of those, you know, go against the company, they have to sell down all assets, not only to pay down that debt, but anything that's got any value to pay it out in those sort of court cases. So my view, unless you you love risk a lot, I wouldn't be touching it.
Before we get to your stock picks, Johan also wanted to know your view on ShopRite. Is it a buy?
I think it is a buy. I think it's a quality company. There's very little doubt about that. And I think, you know, within a South African sort of retail space, arguably has had a bit of a tough run of things, specifically with their sort of African operations and currency issues more recently. And so you've seen somebody like Pick and Pay outperform them quite significantly over the last year,
right,
which provides you with an opportunity over the longer term to get into this quality sort of company at ratings that aren't elevated, in our view. So certainly something to look at, yeah.
So last week we had ShopRite saying that its CEO had taken a leveraged bet on the share price. And some of the questions that, you know, came through from Twitter from some of the analysts I follow was, why take a leveraged bet on the share price? And if it was a move to instill confidence or send a signal to the market, why then not buy shares worth so many millions if that was the intended thing to do? Did that make you uncomfortable at all, or is this something that we've got nothing to worry about? These things happen.
It was a bit of a strangely worded sense, because they put in the SENS announcement the instrument that he used to buy the stock. I mean, they could have just said he'd taken up the shares. So I'm not quite sure why they did it that way, and probably raised some more concern than was necessary. Mm. I think it was an attempt to kind of show the confidence that he has in his ability and his team in the stock, and I think that should be a positive. It wasn't a particularly large stake that he's going to have to now beat the share price down if things go wrong. So I think it's a net positive.
Nick, quickly before we get to your share.
So I'm not sure whether I'm a fan of management always taking, you know, bets on the share price, and specifically not sort of leverage bets. I understand the argument that they think there's value in the share price at the moment. However, we've certainly seen the downside of taking too much exposure and not having enough sort of liquid assets. So, you know, their job is ultimately to run the company, not to invest every single dime that they possibly have in that company, because when things go wrong, then their mind is elsewhere. So not 100% comfortable with it, to be honest.
Okay. Well, we, you know, still have you. Let's get to your stock pick.
Mm. So my stock pick today in the property sector, I think, overall, we are quite positive on what will transpire in the next month, and do believe that, you know, as much as we think that economic growth is going to take some time to come through, we do see a sort of glimmer of hope, in the sense that at the moment there's very little confidence in the economy whatsoever, and really to kickstart things off, one needs confidence to come back, and I think we can start taking a move in the right sort of direction. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely be making a stock pick in the SA type of environment. The stock I'm picking is Fortress B, the Fortress Income Fund. Your higher risk option, so there are two classes of shares there. The B is the share that does really well when things are going swimmingly, and gets absolutely pummeled when things are going badly. As one can see by that share graph, things have been going badly. Ultimately, if one is positive on a turnaround in SA Inc., I think ultimately this is attractive prices to be getting into a stock like this. I do think earnings are going to disappoint for some time, but really it comes down into that confidence of a turnaround. And as the turnaround comes through, I think you'll see this re-rate.
All right, Mark.
I'm going to pick Metair tonight, so a small industrial stock. Mainly two components of the business. The one is the automotive parts business. So they make like wiring harnesses, headlights, air cons. And the other side of the business, also about 55% of the business, is the lead acid batteries. But they've been doing some interesting things. They've also started now with a small investment in a lithium iron business. sort of looking at maybe going into, you know, the electric vehicles or similar. They've recently, I mean, their share price came under a lot of pressure when they tried to buy a similar size business to them in Europe, and the market just said, no, that's just way too big an acquisition for you to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's scared off, it scared the market quite badly, and there were some shareholders that jumped ship. But since all of that has been put on the back burner, or in fact taken off the table completely, Value Capital Partners have taken quite a big stake, 10% stake last year, so they've got a much stronger shareholder base. And the earnings were recently pretty good, so trading on a 7x earnings multiple, I think it's good value, and I think the prospects are quite interesting.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. That's where we have to leave it for tonight. Thanks to my guests, Nick Crail from Ashburton Investments and Mark Dutoy from Courtney Capital Private Wealth. We take more of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Well, rather on Thursday, as tomorrow is a public holiday. So have a good evening. Let's get to your stock pick.
So my stock pick today in the property sector, I think overall we are quite positive on what will transpire in the next month.
Okay.
And do believe that, you know, as much as we think that economic growth is going to take some time to come through, we do see a sort of glimmer of hope, in the sense that at the moment there's very little confidence in the economy whatsoever, and really to kickstart things off one needs confidence to come back, and I think we can start moving and taking a move in the right sort of direction. So I would definitely be making a stock pick in the SA type of environment. The stock I'm picking is Fortress B, so the Fortress Income Fund. Your higher risk option, so there are two classes of shares there. The B is the share that does really well when things are going swimmingly and gets absolutely pummeled when things are going badly. As one can see by that share graph, things have been going badly. Ultimately, if one is positive on a turnaround in SA Inc., I think ultimately this is attractive prices to be getting into a stock like this. I do think earnings are going to disappoint for some time, but really it comes down into that confidence of a turnaround. And as the turnaround comes through, I think you'll see this re-rate.
All right, Mark.
I'm going to pick Metair tonight, so a small industrial stock. Mainly two components to the business. The one is the automotive parts business. So they make like wiring harnesses, headlights, air cons. And the other side of the business, also about 55% of the business, is the lead acid batteries. But they've been doing some interesting things. They've also started now with a small investment in a lithium ion business, sort of looking at maybe going into, you know, the electric vehicles or similar. They've recently, I mean, their share price came under a lot of pressure when they tried to buy a similar size business to them in Europe, and the market just said, no, that's just way too big an acquisition for you to do.
Yeah.
And I think it scared the market quite badly, and there were some shareholders that jumped ship. But since all of that has been put on the back burner, or in fact taken off the table completely, Value Capital Partners have taken quite a big stake, 10% stake last year, so they've got a much stronger shareholder base. And the earnings were recently pretty good, so trading on a 7x earnings multiple, I think it's good value, and I think the prospects are quite interesting.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. That's where we have to leave it for tonight. Thanks to my guests, Nick Crail from Ashburton Investments and Mark Dutoy from Courtney Capital Private Wealth. We take more of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Well, rather on Thursday, as tomorrow is a public holiday. So have a good evening.